We're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 12 this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. We like to go as a family camping from time to time, and it's always enjoyable. I remember one time Chase and I went up to Cades Cove and camped out there, and he built the fire. And you know, those fires can go for a while, and then the fire will die out, and there'll be the coals there, the embers will be there, and you can go back to them as long as they're still, you know, glowing. You can go back to them and you can start blowing on them and you can get flame back up again. And that's a good thing. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, we have to be careful, because that's exactly what Satan wants to do to us as we go through life. Because if we allow sin to remain sort of alive, we haven't quite dealt with it completely. We haven't extinguished it from our lives. We're not yet dead to it. Romans chapter 6. Then there's a possibility that Satan at various times can come and he can stir those flames up again, because we haven't laid it aside yet. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, there's a mention of this idea there in verse 1, where the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So here's the picture of a race that you're running. And in this case, the sin that is mentioned here is something that you lay aside. You lay it aside and then you go. You're not carrying it with you. You leave it behind so that you can run this race, and you can run it with endurance. Persist. Don't give up. Keep going. We might become weary, but we won't stop. We might become fatigued at times, maybe discouraged, but one foot keeps coming in front of the other, and we don't stop that race. There are many who have gone on before us. And the previous chapter made mention of many who, because of their faith, persevered through difficulties of all sorts. And this is what we need, this perspective that no matter what we're faced with our faith in God and reliance upon Him, we're going to persevere. We're not going to give up. We're going to remember that the weights that might burden us, the sins that so easily, he says, ensnare us, we cast them all aside and we run this race. But notice what is mentioned in verse 2. As you run the race, you're looking unto Jesus. You have your eyes fixed upon Him. He's described here as the author and the finisher of our faith. Here is the one who, before the foundation of the world, it was within God's plan that He would become a sacrifice for our sins. Here is the one who was told by the Father, "Receive this commandment," He said, that He could lay down His life or He could take it up again. And He laid it down and He died on the cross. He freely gave His life. He did not, as we sing, "Call 10,000 angels," He didn't do anything to escape the suffering and the death that was a part of that sacrifice. Instead, Jesus is the one who is the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He is the one who died never then to see death again. He died, was raised, and now is at the right hand of the Father. We're all going to face death one day. But if we are Christians, and if we lay aside the weights, and if we lay aside the sin, and if we run this race, the Bible tells us that we will be able to receive the crown. We will be able to be with the Lord. We will also, like Him, be able to be resurrected, never to die again. That's the hope that we have as Christians. There is no second death for us. There's the overcoming of death. All have sinned, Romans 3:23, but We have the gift of God that is spoken of in Romans 6 and verse 23, eternal life, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was willing to lay down his life because it says here in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus persisted through for him what was something that we can be thankful we don't have to go through. He bore the penalty of sin for us. We don't have to suffer the consequences of our sins because Christ paid the price. He was willing to suffer as it's described here. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And now, he is where we can one day look forward to being. He's at the right hand of God. He's in that place where there is no death, sorrow, no suffering. That will be our eternal home if we are willing to fix our eyes upon him and run this race with endurance, as is described here. In verse 3, we're told, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." As you run the race, the reality is there are going to be not people who are necessarily cheering you on the sidelines, but what he brings to our attention here is there are going to be hostile forces, people that in this life serve as discouragement to you. They might serve as enemies to you. They might be individuals who serve as a means of being tempted for you. All kinds of different obstacles we're going to have to face. And yet he says, remember what Jesus went through. Hostility is what he suffered from the beginning of his ministry at various times. He was opposed, rejected. He was persecuted, of course, the suffering that he went through when he was betrayed and all the events that led up to his crucifixion, we remember very clearly from the accounts given in the Gospels. But that's what he did. And we, as his disciples, need to remember, he says, so that we don't become weary, discouraged, give up. Understand, endurance is a part of Christian living. And it's the fact that we can look to the Savior who did that as an example to us, and he can serve as a reminder to us and a strength for us to persevere and never give up. He is the one who has laid it all on the line so that we can one day be with him forever. Hopefully, as you reflect tonight upon what Christ did, that if you're not yet a Christian, you're moved with great gratitude because of what Jesus did in willingly giving himself as a sacrifice, because this is a demonstration of love unparalleled, what Jesus did for us. It's the love that is demonstrated in his coming into this world, lowering himself, though he was equal with the Father, becoming like human, like a man, and then, of course, being willing to be submissive, obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. So here we are moved with gratitude to look at what Jesus did, and it ought to then cause us to reflect upon why he did that. He did it because without it, we all perish. He died in our place. Here's someone who gave himself, put himself in our place, though we're deserving of the penalty. He says, I'll take the penalty. We've escaped. If we turn to him, believing in him, and accessing the forgiveness of sins that comes about through his blood, we have complete forgiveness. All that we have ever done is forgotten by God. That sin is dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can live with hope as children of God. And furthermore, we're described as heirs, those who will inherit eternal life and all the blessings that await us in heaven. But there will be trials and tribulations we'll have to go through, as we've mentioned tonight in this. And thus, if we initially become Christians but find ourselves struggling There are things we have to come face to face with. We have to deal with the reality of the struggle of sin and overcome it with the help of Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ. And that we do because we know what's at stake, not only our own souls, the souls of those around us as well, that we might have influence upon. So we have to walk faithfully with the Lord because many souls are in a place of jeopardy, we could say, if we don't walk with the Lord continually. There is forgiveness always available through Jesus Christ for those who are walking with the Lord but turn away, because the Father doesn't say, that's it, too many times, it's over. But instead, He's willing, if we have humble hearts and we turn back to Him and acknowledge our sins, He's willing to receive us back to Himself. And then there is joy and rejoicing in heaven, because though we were gone, in fact, spiritually dead, we are alive again and there's hope restored. So if you need to become a child of God through faith, repentance, confession, baptism, or be restored to the Lord, you can do that tonight. The invitation is extended to you at this time, and we'd be glad to help if we can as we stand and sing.